takes more to shock us than it used to. At least this is what Islamic militants think. They continually look for new ways to grab our attention and terrify us with their fanatical determination. The Gothic horror of burning a caged hostage alive was an example of this. So too was their less graphic but equally nihilist destruction of the ancient Assyrian city of Nimrud. These acts were intended, at least partly, to cut through the noise, to startle, and to dismay us. In this regard, the terrorists must solve the same problem facing the manager of the local movie theater. When everyone is constantly inundated with distractions, how do you get anyone to pay attention? The amount of information being transmitted to us has never been greater. We're drowning in stock quotes, cat videos, junk emails, and breaking news, all pumped directly into the computers on our desks, or the phones in our pockets, and now even the watches on our wrists. The only way for the Islamic State to stand out is to commit increasingly horrifying atrocities. The terrorists are actively helped by our politicians, who shamelessly amplify the acts of these desperate men. Instead of dismissing them as the shabby criminals they are, on the run and forced to hide in distant deserts, our political class elevate them into existential threats. Pause and consider that for a moment. In North America over the last 20 years, even taking into account the September 11th attacks, twice as many people have been accidentally drowned in their bathtub than were killed by terrorists. And yet, our politicians and our officials will look us in the eye and insist the very existence of Canada is threatened. It's no wonder, then, that we're left with this impression that the Islamic militants are plumbing new depths, ushering in these dark and most dangerous of times. But sadly, this is not true. The only thing noteworthy about these crimes is how relatively rare they have become. History is unfortunately filled with groups who surpassed even Islamic State. The genocide in Rwanda was only 20 years ago. 20 years before that, the Khmer Rouge murdered over 1.5 million Cambodians, many by torture. The Pakistani army killed over 300,000 Bangladeshis a few years before that and displaced another 8 million. And the rape of Nanking and the Holocaust, these remain in living memory. And just beyond that lies the Turkish genocide of the Armenians and the death of 10 million Congolese at the hands of the Belgians. Syria in particular has been terrorized by far too many murderous conquerors long before it was cursed with the Islamic State. When Tamerlane, the Sword of Islam, invaded, he massacred the citizens of Aleppo and left a pyramid of 20,000 skulls outside the city gates. In the 13th century, the genocidal Mongols overran Syria four times, destroying any city that did not immediately surrender. The Crusaders, when they arrived, killed Christians and Muslims alike. When the Romans invaded Syria, they did not just slaughter or enslave every man, woman, and child they defeated, they also plowed the very ruins to erase all memory of the vanquished. Remember the Assyrians who built the recently bulldozed city of Nimrud? They went even farther than the Romans, sowing their enemies' land with salt to poison it for generations. There was an inscription in a temple wall in Nimrud itself, which is presumably gone now. It recorded that in 883 BC, the Assyrian king Ashurbanipal captured the city of Tella, then flayed alive all the chief men, and covered the city walls in their skins. He then burned or maimed everyone else, including children. The Islamic State looks almost quaint in comparison. It's important to remember this. Regardless of what our politicians claim, these ragged fanatics are not some new world-ending form of evil. They're merely pale reminders of the horrors mankind used to commit with regularity. We shouldn't allow terrorists or our politicians to frighten us. The only thing unique about Islamic militants is that they're now outliers, a reminder that for the overwhelming majority of the planet, life is far more peaceful and far safer than it's ever been before. I was reminded of all this when I recently reread the poem by Lord Byron called The Destruction of Sennacherib. It goes, "The Assyrian came down like a wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold. And the sheen of their spears was like stars on the sea, when the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. Like leaves of the forest when summer is green, that host with their banners at sunset were seen. Like the leaves in the forest when autumn has blown, the host on the morrow lay withered and strown. For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast, and breathed in the face of the foe as he passed. And the eyes of the sleepers waxed deadly and chill, and their hearts but once heaved and forever grew still. And there lay the steed with his nostril all wide, but through it there rolled not the breath of his pride, and the foam of his gasping lay white on the turf, and cold as the spray of the rock-beating surf. And there lay the rider, distorted and pale, with the dew in his brow and the rust on his mail. And the tents were all silent, the banners alone, the lances unlifted, the trumpets unblown. And the widows of Asher are loud in their wail, and the idols are broke in the temple of Baal. And the might of the Gentile, unsmote by the sword, has melted like snow in the glance of the Lord. So, here's to hoping that the Islamic State, too, will falter and disappear, their lances unlifted, their trumpets unblown. This is Scott Gilmore from Claims Magazine.